broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is the broadcast for November the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two and our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances wisely put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great, and I mean great, solutions to restore the republic and the traditions of our founders. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. By the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. And let's see, we got a recap of yesterday's show to start out. We had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards, well-known personal friend and political talk show host in his own right, does the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org, every Saturday night, live, and then available anytime at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We talked about Detroit News wins lawsuit against James Edwards. And its opinion, the court quoted Aesop's fable. A man is known by the company he keeps. The lawsuit over a very strange situation. Quote, guilt by association is what the court kind of went with. Really against all law, all common sense, all morality. Now, they violated case law, not to mention all reason. The court said because James Edwards publicly associated with members of the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan, that is, then that means, well, he publicly shared their beliefs, and so he can't claim public defamation. The bottom line is columnist Banco Thompson asserted that radio talk show host James Edwards was a leader of the Ku Klux Klan. Even though the court literally admits in their decision there is no evidence that Edwards holds a formal leadership position in the Ku Klux Klan, nor is there any record evidence that he's ever been involved even as a member. So the bottom line is now the court literally plays games to give a win to the mainstream press. My question to you, where is Donald Trump? He's strangely missing in action. This is the textbook definition. All right, a textbook definition saying, hey, what's libel and slander is you cannot say someone's a member of the Klan when they are, or you cannot say somebody's a member or the leader of the Klan when they're clearly not. That crosses the line into libel and defamation, says the textbook example to highlight what is libel. But in this case, Kyle Bristow, the attorney, loses on behalf of James Edwards, where the court literally says, doesn't matter. You're going to attack James Edwards or any person you want to because their beliefs are so heinous, so horrible, so evil that the truth matters, the textbook case mattereth not. Now, the bottom line is I would say to Banco Thompson and the court in this case, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's what I would say. And if you want to contrast that, how evil is James Edwards? He's a man that promotes God, family, and country, protects life, liberty, and property. He doesn't have a record of any kind. A good, honest, moral man. Contrast that with Robert Byrd. Yeah, he went from being a leader of the KKK to being the longest-serving member of the U.S. Senate. When he passed away, Hillary Clinton literally praised former KKK member Robert Byrd and literally claimed that he was her mentor and that she reached out in every way to literally back Robert Byrd. Many congressmen, senators did, etc. Now, if they're going to say James Edwards, because he is associated with some people that we say are bad guys, and we're going to throw out the textbook definition, we're going to play games with the word leader, we're going to play games with, Aesop's fables, which is, hey, you know what, you're known by the company you keep, then Hillary, by that definition, now I'm not saying this at all, but by that definition, Hillary would be a KKK leader as well. And so would most of Congress. Wow, what a very strange, sad ruling. But this is an exact perfect illustration of what Donald Trump mentioned on the campaign trail, that, man, these people are evil in the courts, in the mainstream press, and they're our enemies. Now, I don't know why Donald Trump is missing in action on this case. He's strangely silent. Maybe he's just too busy, huh? All right, Snoop Dogg jokes about death of Donald Trump. Why we're allowing this kind of behavior to happen, I don't know. We're attacking James Edwards. But at the same time, we're going to protect Snoop Dogg when he's literally joking about the death of the president of the United States. How dare he? But don't worry, the American dream is back. According to 82%, they say they have already achieved the American dream or they're well on their way. That's Washington Secrets. It's probably a secret. Don't tell anybody because you might not know, right? Well, America is a wonderful place. And I agree we have our problems, but I also will be the first man to double down and say America is the best country on the face of the earth despite our problems. And let's preach good things for America, not bad things, please. All right, with that recap, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. It was an epic 2-hour broadcast with James Edwards breaking down his court case and showing the hypocrisy of the double standard, the evil attacks that literally bear false witness, codified by rejecting case law in court and all common reason, and putting forward an agenda that protects the mainstream press, allows them to attack us any way they choose. This case will be a trend-setting case that'll haunt conservatives forever. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Nikki Haley's in the news, I guess, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah. Now, this is the former South Carolina governor. And, you know, that Trump picked, the president picked to be the UN, I don't know what you call it for sure, but, you know, big shot at the UN. She now, well, she's saying some stuff that a lot of people have wished had be said or done for a long time. She says, she told the United Nations, you're not the boss of us or the U.S. Franco Ordonez is the author, and this is, at least in my opinion, McClatchy, DC.com is a source. But you've got some bold talk, I guess. But wouldn't it be nice, Sam, if they just said, hey, look, we're paying more than a fourth of that whole United Nations thing. It's a crazy thing that we shouldn't be involved in. We put up the ground and all this other stuff. We're just out, you know. We're not going to be participating any longer. But I don't think she went that far.
So what's she exactly doing, Kurt? Not just saying, well, but what is she doing? Anything?
You know, she's at the UN on a regular basis as our representative. I just think that we ought to give less credence to the UN and more basically
anything to get us out of it, to stand for America, to make America great, to return to the principles of our founders, to encourage other nations to go ahead. Let's stick with the Nikki Haley thing here.
Yeah, this
what
is part
doing,
of it. These are New York Post. That was McClatchy. New York Post headline, Nikki Haley puts the UN on notice. Yeah. National Review says,
I mean, is she just like a little kid, like, you're not my boss? Or is she doing anything valuable to prove that we're sovereign?
Well, at least, you got a few tweets as well. Same, kind of stuff. Here's one. These are all from her. The rest of the world attempted to isolate us at the UN yesterday over our stance on Cuba. This was our response. Basically, like, hit the road, baby. On the resolution condemning the U.S., as long as the Cuban people are deprived of their human rights and freedoms. We don't fear isolation in this chamber.
That's great, but I don't even understand what she's doing. So they basically shut her down, isolated her, and she babbled at the mouth on Twitter. And other than that, there's not a single thing, a stitch of reality check on this thing at all, right?
Well, they say she blasted the United Nations in a defiant speech to the 193-member General Assembly before it adopted a resolution calling for an end to the U.S. economic embargo.
Sit down and shut up, you stupid little girl. You have no clue and you have no fight and no guts. And until she pulls funding and starts to demand change, for real, nothing will happen. Let's talk about it. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Anyway, I get that she's trying to stand up, Kurt, and I appreciate her efforts to say, hey, you know what, the United Nations isn't the boss here, we're in charge. But you know what, getting isolated and then making a speech like that, unless you put some real teeth behind it, unless you, Nikki Haley, and Donald Trump are serious about cutting funding to the United Nations and literally saying, look, we're not going to play your games. You're not going to railroad us. You know what? We're either going to play games and be the leader we're meant to be here, or we're out and y'all can stand on your own. If you're going to isolate us, why don't y'all isolate us right on out of it and completely? We're going to defund it. And let's see how long you want to isolate us and how big you guys can talk. But the problem that I see is when you rattle saber like this, but you don't have any teeth to your bite, so to speak, what you get is these leaders call that big time weakness, Kurt, and you actually betray America in this rhetoric. That's my humble opinion. What do you say?
Well, I'll give you what she had to say, a little bit more detail. You know, what you've got, Nikki Haley, remember, she's a, what do they call her? Anyway, a woman, of course, the ambassador to the UN, former South Carolina governor. She's of Indian descent, so she's an Indian American, as far as I understand. She basically blasted the United Nations in a defiant speech, she basically said, and I kind of appreciate this, but she was honest. She said, "Let's be honest about what we really see going on here. This assembly does not have the power to end the U.S. embargo. It is based in U.S. law, which only the United States Congress can change. The United States voted against the U.N. resolution that condemned the American trade embargo against Cuba after abstaining last year during the administration of Barack Obama for the first time in 25 years. Anyway, the bottom line is, to me, the U.N. is a socialist communist organization. And, we shouldn't be a part of it. We shouldn't
Amen.
Be funding it, and et cetera.
I couldn't agree more, and all I'm saying is she needs a little bite behind that bark, or she's going to look weak in front of the world. That's all I'm saying about it. And I appreciate the talk, but let's do some walk. Let's start defunding. Let's say you want to isolate me. That's fine. We're going to go ahead and chop your funding in half. And now, if you guys want to continue to isolate us, we can talk about the next steps we'll take. Or you guys can come to your senses, which will it be? I'm not saying we should even be part of the United Nations, but what I'm saying is you got to take action. But I'm sick of the rhetoric. You know, we've heard they're going to get rid of the education department for literally my whole life, right? We've heard they're going to go ahead and, make the United Nations total line my whole life. We now hear about the, Affordable Care Act again, Kurt? Is that in the news? Again, for reals?
Yeah, now she had this a little bit more to say. She says, to those who are confused as to where the United States stands, let me be clear, as is their right under our Constitution, the American people have spoken. They have chosen a new president, and he has chosen a new ambassador to the United Nations. Well, anyway, as you said, Sam, if they really want to shake it up, there's a little bit more that could be done. But good for them for doing the best they, at least that I've seen for a long time. And hopefully they just move right forward, with some real action.
Well, I pointed out what ought to be done.
Yep, that's right.
All right, the Affordable Care Act's in the news, Kurt.
This is, of course, ongoing, the Affordable Care Act, but what you see is, at least a move, they say, to maybe include this in the this tax bill, especially this individual, they call it mandate or government commandment, where you are forced to have insurance, even if you don't want to, no pro-choice here.
Now, let's be clear for a second here, though. This is where Donald did his best through executive order to shut this piece down. Now, the IRS is ignoring the Donald, creating a showdown. This is where the Republican Congress has failed to date on this thing. But this is one more opportunity to at least support Donald and do something, Kurt. And I hope they do.
That's exactly right. And this is a WallStreetJournal.com piece. So the headline reads, repeal of ACA. Now, remember, that's the Affordable Care Act. And it's, in my opinion, not so affordable. Individual mandate could be part of tax overhaul. Subheadline, inclusion of repeal and tax bill back in play as Donald Trump backs measure on Twitter. Stephanie Armour and Christina Peterson write for the Wall Street Journal. They got about 200 comments, but they say it's part of the game, and we'll have to see if you
ask me. Do you believe
it,
Kurt?
I'll believe it when I see it. I'm like you said, glad
I'm skeptical,
for
but I pray.
President Trump's efforts.
Yeah, amen. And we got to point out who's
the
doing what in this
fight. The swamp monsters are out.
They sure are. And you know what? I hope that others can lead the way. I'd like to know where Ron Paul stands on that. But the problem is, what's going to happen is you're going to put the ACH repeal of the individual mandate in there, and then you'll make the tax bill so convoluted that good guys can't vote for it in good faith. And then you'll attack the good guys because they didn't vote for it kind of thing. That's what usually goes down. Now, I pray we see it different. Now, Kurt, do you even know what the tax changes even mean that they're talking about? Because I read it, and I don't even understand what they're talking about.
That's the problem, is, you know, it's we need the kind of one subject at a time kind of thing. And,
amen.
And easy to understand, but we just don't get it.
Like, we'll shut down the IRS just before Christmas is the greatest Christmas gift ever given to the American people. You know, that would be like one, you know, that I'd
easy to understand.
But but I really, when you read the different headlines and the different little summaries or whatever you want to call it of the tax reform ideas from the Republicans, first off, you know that it was secret and they just unveiled it, right?
Yeah, here's the headline from rollcall.com.
Well, first off, you know that it was secret and they just revealed it, right?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say, you know, at least anything is secret until it's announced, I guess.
Hold on, not
say.
Unless you do a transparent working document where you literally lay out, you know, have a C-SPAN meeting about what the proposal is, and then, you know, you write up the first draft, and then you release it, and people review it, and you talk about it, and then you kind of make the changes, and you release those changes, and you give transparency to the process. That wouldn't be in secret. Now, I guess we could play games and say, well, while the guy's writing it, it's secret. Okay, until it gets out of people's minds, I guess it's secret. But what I'm telling you is you can either, one, you know, keep it where even the congressmen and senators don't know about it while a, quote, key team of insiders work on it and then release it and then try to push for a vote with no time to review, to debate, to discuss. Or you can literally, you know, create that time. And the big criticism right now is that it was literally drafted in secret. Now it's pushed on the American people like, boom. We still don't know the parameters and details of what certain parts of it mean, but yet they're already pushing for debate and vote and those kind of things. That's the problem that I have, is the lack of transparency and the lack of focus on what we're even working on and doing. So what do the headlines say to articulate this, Kurt?
Well, the headline from rollcall.com about this issue says, House GOP tax bill keeps 39.6% rate for high earners, cuts corporate rate to 20%. It says, a subheadline, Ways and Means Chairman Kevin Brady gathering feedback for changes to be made before Monday markup.
Okay, but they just released it like yesterday, right? And they're already going to have a weekend and then a Monday markup?
Yeah, the bill, it says here from rollcall.com, bill would collapse seven tax brackets for individuals to four brackets with rates of 12, 25, 35, and 39.6%.
Now, let me stop you there and say, you know, that's not really even that big of a cut, Kurt, when you look at it. Certain areas.
Well, you mean from going from seven brackets to four?
Yeah. And in fact, it's worse. Because right now I'm at about a 15% bracket. The question is, if I go to 12, it helps me. If I go to 25, it absolutely hoses me right down. In other words, there's no middle bracket there where there used to be. And so it's going to make it better for some, but it's going to make it instantly worse for those who are in the middle there. And that's a big step from 12 to 25%. That captures a lot of people.
There you go. They say the bill would also increase the standard deduction, so single filers earning up to $12,000 and joint filers earning up to $24,000 would pay no income tax.
And I think everybody should pay something. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Find a game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to want it more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So they're talking about maybe having the Affordable Care Act mandate be repealed in this latest tax round the Republicans are working on, and I pray they get it done. I don't mean to be negative. I'm just telling you, I don't have a lot of confidence. Maybe I'm tainted. Maybe I'm a little bit jaded because of what I've seen so far. But the other problem is these tax brackets sounds awesome, man. We went from 7 to 4. This is incredible simplification. But I don't think so. When you take a bracket that goes from 12 to 25 and nothing in between, the question is how many people are going to end up in the 12 and how many people are going to end up in the 25 and get burned, those who are on the middle tax brackets now. I think there's like a 15 and an 18 or a 21 or something. So this sounds like simplification, and it sounds neat, Kurt, but I don't see it that way. I see it as a game-playing exercise to say, we'll pitch this idea that it's 7 to 4, that it's really simplifying. But with the numbers so high, I think more people will be paying more taxes than not. I think it's a ruse, in other words. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll give you this. Rand Paul had this to say at LifeZet.com. The headline reads, Rand Paul have to cut taxes on top 1% or it's not a significant tax cut. Subheadline, the Kentucky senator says members of Congress have bought into the class warfare of the left. Catherine Blackhurst is the author. And, well, you know, he was, I guess, on the Laura Ingraham show, and he said that the House's tax plan will deliver economic growth, although it doesn't really constitute a significant tax cut, as the president said it would. The House's watered-down Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that's what this article calls it, would reduce the number of income tax brackets to 4. We already talked about the amounts. In addition, the corporate tax rate drops from 35% to 20%. That was short of the 15% tax rate Trump championed on the campaign trail. But this article says still a significant change. Rand Paul, applauded some aspects of the bill's content, but he expressed disappointment, saying the proposed legislation, as it now stands, wouldn't deliver the significant tax cut that Trump and the Republicans promised. you know, so at least, you know, it sounds to me like he agrees with you. He's not talking about those other ones, but if you don't lower taxes on everybody, then it's not, you know, significant.
That's right. And when you not only don't lower taxes on the highest 1% or whatever else, okay, what you do is you really, in my opinion, attack the economy. Because I know people laughed at Ronald Reagan for this trickle-down idea, but I'm convinced business owners literally do trickle things down to their employees. Now, I'm sure some are greedy and don't, but most people literally, when they do better, help those around them do better as well. And to pretend that's not true is a farce. Furthermore, this idea that we're not going to lower taxes on the top guys, but we're going to have the more of the bottom guys pay no tax, Kurt. So they make this big promotion about, hey guys, individuals that are making up to 12 grand or couples that are making up to 24 grand are going to pay no taxes. Now, my problem with that, Kurt, is I don't believe people should pay no taxes. You know, that's kind of why I like the Lord's tithing is my example of, you know what, it's 10%. It's for everybody. The widow's mite pays 10%, and so does the richest guy on the planet. And you know what? Then everybody kind of, you know, feels a little bit of the pain or has a little bit of the responsibility, if you will, of the proper role of limited government. So this is an example where I don't go along with the liberals, the left, the, you know, conservatives, the right, the whatever. I go along with the Constitution and I say, look, you've got to have fair taxation at where everybody pays that's non-direct. And so I don't like this idea of these different brackets. We're just playing games. And when you say the top aren't going to get a tax cut because we got to abuse them harder, and the bottom, those guys get a bigger free pass, to me, the whole discussion is a non-starter. We're not doing anything here. We're just rewarding some at the expense of others. We're just playing the, as Rand Paul wisely pointed out, what is this, class warfare game, or what did he call it? This loony
idea.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. And, you know, this article points out here later in the story, it says, or in the article, it says, but the Democrats have been particularly effective in pushing the narrative that tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans disadvantage poorer Americans. And many Republicans, this is to the point you were talking about, and many Republicans have found themselves convinced by portions of these emotional arguments, Paul suggested. That's Rand Paul. And here's a quote from him. He says, we have to understand that the owners of our businesses, sounds exactly like you, the people we work for are richer than us. They pay more taxes. But if you lower their taxes, they will either buy stuff or hire more people. If you raise their taxes, it goes into the non-productive
economy. Or they might,
Kurt,
just save money, which actually wouldn't be a bad thing either.
There you go. Which is Washington, D.C., and it will be squandered. He continues, so really, even if rich people get a tax cut, we should all stand up and cheer because it means more jobs for us because you're leaving more money in the private sector. So I'm one of the few that will stand up on TV and say everybody's taxes should go down, including the wealthy. There you go.
Well, and my next question, too, is what is this idea about rich people? As if we're going to be hostile about rich people, as if somehow it's, you know, it's wrong to be rich. It's wrong to be wealthy.
Remember,
the whole purpose of America, Kurt, was to let people dream the dream and do the very best they could and prosper and benefit.
Right.
And so we say that's the American dream. Then we run around and go, well, you actually achieved the dream. Now we're going to just abuse you out of your dream.
We'll get your stuff from you. Yeah.
It's
you know,
nuts on parade. It's crazy talk.
And remember when the French did this a little while back, you know, they basically were like, man, we're going to get those rich people. And what did the rich people do, Sam? Do you remember?
In Robin Hood?
No, in France. In France, just a little while back. This hadn't been that long. They basically
revolted and went out of the country.
They moved to other places.
Well, the same thing happens in America with New York City. You got
exactly
Rush Limbaugh
right.
And Glenn Beck and all these guys just bailing out of New York. They're just like, it's nuts on parade here. I'm out.
That's right.
And I don't blame them.
That's right. Yeah.
Anyway, I pray that we can have real tax reform. I pray that we can truly lower taxes. But when a guy like me who analyzes this stuff for a living can't really figure out what it means, like, there's all these articles on the internet, Kurt. It's like, what the tax breaks mean for you. And then they give me this big old bunch of globbly gloop, and they say, hey, here's the summary. We might do this. We're thinking about that. We're pondering this. This is the proposal. This is the idea. I don't even know what it means for me, Kurt. All I know is that I bet I'm in the middle of the 12 to 25 bracket, and I know that the likelihood of them forcing me to the 25 bracket is very good. And so I pretty much say they're going to raise my taxes now in this thing, except for if they get rid of the mandate and if they increase the child whatever credit, and if they do this and that, they might force me to a higher bracket but give me more kind of breadcrumbs on the other side of the equation. And overall, then I don't really know. Unless they roll out the tax changes, I can plug it all into the, you know, tax systems or look at all the rules and get my accountant to plug everything in and figure it out. I really, at the end of the day, can't even know, Kurt. Because what if I go from the 15 bracket to the 25 bracket, but then what if my child earned income credit's bigger? And then what if my, they don't require the mandate of health care, and so you could say that I'm paying less because I don't have to, you know, pay for that mandate. Overall, at the end of the day, where am I, Kurt? Do you have any idea?
Well, no, not really. But what I'd love to say is, look, we have simple, you know, plans that have been put forward and studied, like our buddy Charles Collins did back as a Republican candidate for president in the 90s, where he simply put together a plan where you have one simple transaction tax that replaces all the taxes, by the way. And, you know, that way you eliminate the need for any IRS.
I know, but then you can't control and abuse people and force people to through fear to do things, Kurt.
That's exactly the key point, Sam. And I concur. About a way to free the American people, you know.
Amen. And so I there highlight are ways that point this on could purpose be done. To make that point is that, yep, you know, they're in fear. People are in fear. Now, while those folks are just, you know, trying to ram this tax change manipulation down your throat to where I don't even know if it's good or bad or what it even means, right? Roy Moore's in the news, Kurt. He's got something to say. We got to bring him up again because he's about to win in Alabama, we pray, right?
Well, that's the way I see it. The judge is speaking out, you know, and what you've got is you have... Well, I mean, he basically says this is a piece, CBS and the AP picked it up, but it says, Roy Moore says religious liberty comes from God, not from the Constitution. Boy, it's got them all in a tizzy. They're really ticked off about that.
Amen. Heard that. Good work, sir. But they're all melting down. We'll give the details in seconds. Sam and Kurt on your radio, along with Roy Moore saying, you know what? Religious liberty comes from God, not government.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, there you have it. You know, it's hard to strike a balance between not being critical and attacking people, but yet standing up for the right cause. And when they attack us, it's very hard to respond very kindly. So we're talking about Roy Moore says religious liberty comes from God, not from government, and not even from the Constitution. He's right, Kurt. And I support the Constitution, but a statement like that, they could say, well, he's not a Constitution guy. He's, you know, but I disagree. He's just making a point that, look, the Constitution just codifies the limited responsibility of the proper role of government. I agree with his point, but it'll be taken out of context. He'll be attacked everywhere.
Well, yeah, because he brought up the G word, you know. He's talking about God instead of government being the giver of rights. And yet, I'll tell you what, CBS News was all ticked off about it, Huffington Post, TPM, among others, you know. But what's interesting is this was 2 or 3 days ago. You didn't hear much talk about it. And yet now the media just doesn't want to keep talking about it because they really like to talk about anything else. Current headlines for Roy Moore, and just shows you how they're going after the judge. It says Roy Moore's son has murky employment situation. Senate GOP embracing Alabama's Roy Moore. Now that was one of the most, I guess you could say, complimentary ones. You know, it's he went up to the Senate, I guess, and one of the headlines said something like, he doesn't play well at the Senate. And I'm thinking, oh, no, here's what it was, the Washington Post. Roy Moore tried to fit in with Senate Republicans for a day. It didn't work. And I'm thinking, hallelujah. I mean, the only guys we really, really like seem to not fit in too well with the Senate. You know what I mean?
And what does it mean to fit in, Kurt? Let me ask you a question. You take an oath of office when you get elected.
Yep.
All right? And I want to know, does he fit in with his colleagues that are the swamp monsters that are selling us down the river for political gain and prestige? Or does he fit in with the oath that he takes? See, and that's kind of an interesting comparison. I don't want him to fit in with all the colleagues that, well, everybody thinks America's broken, right? I want him to fit in with the oath that we've had them, you know, commit to, or whatever you want to say, swear to, pledge to, for literally several hundred years. That's what I want him to fit in with. Is that being even set up by anybody else as the standard we ought to think about? Their oath of office?
Good question. I guess what he did was they've got a weekly lunch there at the Senate. It's each Tuesday where they talk about policy, and he dropped by for this Senate Republicans weekly lunch. Well, he declined to directly answer repeated questions about whether he still believes McConnell should no longer be the Senate Majority Leader, as he has declared numerous times during his campaign. He said, I'm not going to give an opinion on that right now. You know, they say that he was trying to make nice, you know what I mean? They call him the...
But I got a question, Kurt.
Political.com piece is,
what's wrong with trying to be nice? Trying not to intentionally trigger folks.
Well, see, that's what I agree 100%. If you're going to try to be in there and try to work together with people, it's good not to try to smack them around when you're doing that. He says, I guess they ask him another one, you know, or these are just loaded questions for him just to, you know, try to beat him up.
And that's my point. And he's smart enough to say, look, I'm not going to battle with you guys and give you some headlines that you can run around and pervert and manipulate and then just, you know, yell to the hills, foul or something. I'm going to try to be kind, and I'm going to try to not trigger people, and I'm going to try to be a gentleman here. And I say that's wise, Kurt. I don't think that's a fault, like they want to act. Again, if you're polite and you try not to trigger them, then they say you're weak, you're a fault, you're hiding your real agenda, you're this and that. And if you tell what you think, then they say, oh, we got all these triggers. You just can't win with these dishonest people, Kurt.
That's right. Even they quote, even Orrin Hatch, our beloved Utah senator, and he said he has trouble with Moore's comments, but added, if he gets duly elected, I'm going to support him. They quote a few more
guys. So say that again. So Orrin Hatch is going to support Roy Moore, but what was the little far part at the start?
Well, he said he has trouble with Moore's comments, but he added if he...
In other words, see, these are the questions. If we're going to ask people hard questions...
He's just a wimpy guy.
If people are going to ask hard questions, let's ask Roy or ask Orrin Hatch, what comments that Roy Moore's made do you really have an issue with? And let's talk about it. Is it that God... is the one that authors or is grants is the author of our liberty, not government or not the Constitution? Is that the one? Because that's the one that kind of triggered this whole, I don't know what you want to call it, volley of discussion, right?
Yep.
So I want to know, you got a problem with that comment, and do you support that one, Orrin?
Yeah.
Right. What about one man, one woman marriages, Orrin? Are you gonna have a problem with Roy Moore standing on that? In my opinion,
so many of
God
them are so wishy-washy, you know.
Yeah. It's just, what about the one about the Ten Commandments? Are you going to support Roy Moore in that one? And see, I want to know where these people stand. If the American people, if the Utahns clearly knew where Orrin disagreed with Roy Moore, and we literally opened up the discussions and talked about it. But what they want to do is they want to leave Orrin Hatch alone, and they want to attack and trap and trigger Roy Moore into saying something that they can then run to the mountaintops with, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. And, you know, the thing that it made me think about when I saw this, or at least read about these different news conferences, is in that movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington that we went and celebrated the 75th anniversary in Washington, D.C. a little while back.
By the way, that was right before we spoke at the National Press Club. That was very cool.
Yeah, and in that, there's several parts where this new senator gets invited to a press conference, and they tell him, hey, do a little picture of, do what it looks like when the little birds do that thing you're talking about there. And so then they take these pictures of him, and then they put these weird little sub-headlines or headlines with certain pictures, and they basically
they just intentionally
lie,
make like him look like a goofball.
That's
it's kind of like how Rush Limbaugh on the radio verbally did a drive-by media attack on Ron Paul when he was running for president. He's like, there's old Ron Paul sitting over there by the popsicle stand. Ron's just goofy. It's that kind of idea where you spin it in a way that doesn't represent the truth. And you pass it off as news, Kurt. All right, anything
exactly
else on this one?
Right. No, I don't think so.
All right,
so.
I want to end on the hour on a good news piece that Kurt found.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's this guy's name? Carlos?
Carlos?
Correa?
This is, there was a little thing called the World Series that just happened just lately. I don't know if you heard much about it. It's a thing.
I heard more about it than I wanted to.
Yeah. Anyway, this man that's a shortstop for the Houston Astros. And by the way, Houston, I think, is the place where they had that big hurricane. And, so it's kind of nice they get the. I mean, they actually won the World Series, so those people have a reason to kind of celebrate. But this man named Carlos Correa, that, by the way, just so you know, he's from Puerto Rico, Sam. That's another place that got hit pretty hard. After the game and they won, this guy actually asked a lady to marry him. On basically live TV. Now,
and we think that's wonderful. I've got some cautions and some concerns about this story, but I think it's good news.
The guy said, We've been living together. This, you're talking about this man.
And that's
lady.
My caution. They say we've been living together for a long time. That's my caution that, you know what? The likelihood of the marriage being stable and strong once you live together beforehand decreases. Go look at studies if you don't believe me.
That's right. And he says, we've been living together for quite a long time now, and my mom was putting a lot of pressure on me. So isn't it cool that moms are still doing their thing, doing their best, where she said, do the right thing, do the right thing. When your mom's putting the pressure on you, that means she's the right one. So it's very special. So bottom line is, he popped the question to this lady who, she's also pretty hotshot lady, won the Texas Beauty Queen contest. Let's see, what is it? In 2016, she was the Miss Texas USA. In 2013, Miss Teen Texas USA. So anyway, the bottom line is this is a man and woman getting married and
It's fantastic.
That's a pretty
news.
Cool story.
Now, the other caution that I'd give shortstop, Carlos.
Yeah.
The other caution, and I don't know everything, but one, when you live with a woman before you marry her, the likelihood of trouble down the road increases. Now, I don't want to jinx you guys with that. I just want people to understand that because it might help others not live together before they get married. That's the reason that we bring it up. It's not to attack Carlos. Look, what he's done, he's already done. It's in the past. He can repent. He can change. And getting married is the right thing to do. Because then they're living together as ordained of God, right? All right.
That's
in addition to this point that I want to make to Carlos is when you, you know, do this thing publicly, it's pretty neat because we all want to celebrate with you and all that kind of stuff. Okay? Yeah. That's great. And it's something to celebrate. Don't misunderstand my point. However, you better be careful if you have your relationship too public, too in the limelight, too focused on, scrutinized, whatever you want to say. At some point, it'll cause problems in your marriage. The more you can, live together and love together and stay together and pray together and spend time together and have children together and do those things that are ordained of God together, serve somebody else together, go to church together, all these things, the greater likelihood that you'll have a strong marriage. And the more that you promote that marriage in the public eye for scrutiny and for, quote, public consumption, the less likely your marriage will be strong. And I don't say that to be rude. We can celebrate the milestones with you in a very limited, distant way, like you had a child, that's wonderful kind of thing. But you better be very careful to hold that marriage sacred. So that's not meant to be an attack on anyone as much as it is meant to be guidance for us all. Not guidance that comes from me, guidance that comes from God. And I just happen to endorse it. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.